Whatever happened to lawn darts, though?
Yeah, there's a lot of things from our childhoods that you can't do anymore. Like burn stuff in the street. You have to have a car seat. Everybody's got to be wearing a seat belt. You know, stuff like that.
You can't put your head in a plastic bag anymore.
You can't sit on the ground in the front seat just so you can feel the heat coming out on the floorboards. Or lay up in the back window.
Welcome to Touchpoint, a podcast dedicated to discussions on digital marketing and digital patient engagement strategies for hospitals, healthcare systems, and physician practices. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into a variety of topics on the digital tools, solutions, strategies, and processes that are impacting our industry today. We hope to share a lot of great information and have fun along the way. And now, here are your hosts, Reed Smith and Chris Boyer.
Welcome to episode 90. Welcome to the 90s. Of Touchpoint. That is Chris Boyer. I'm Reed Smith, and welcome back to another week.
Yeah. Hey, Reed, how's it going? So we're in the 90s now, huh?
That's right. It's a good decade.
That's not bad. That's not bad. There's some good music that came out of the 90s.
Absolutely. Ace of Base. It's one that comes to mind.
Also Nirvana.
Yep. Belle Biv DeVoe. Sorry, we're getting off track here. Episode 90, Touchpoint. We are back in our normal state or habitat or whatever you want to frame that. But Chris and I are back in our normal places after last week's. If you missed it, we recorded from the Atlas Conference. Catch episode 89 and check that out. That was a fun one to do around Systemness. So we appreciate them again letting us. Touchpoint.health is the website, and we certainly appreciate you listening. Please rate, review, subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast.
And Reed, we couldn't make it to the 90s if it wasn't for a couple of things. First of all, the 80s and their really crazy music and hairstyles.
Yep.
And then also, without the love of our audience as well as some of our sponsors.
That's right. Healthcare is complicated, and that's why our friends over at Loyal, they understand that. They get that, which is why they're dedicated to helping health systems simplify the complexities through smart, consumer-first technology solutions designed to inspire loyalty.
Whatever your business goals are, Loyal's platform enables you to empower, guide, and even connect with your data in order to deliver a simply smarter digital patient experience.
And so go out there, visit their website, loyalhealth.com, and, you know, go to loyalhealth.com, but go to /demo, and you can have a chance to schedule yourself a personal run through of all the things that they have to offer. So tell them that we sent you. They've been a great supporter since day one.
If you're coming up to the Healthcare Internet Conference coming up, you might be able to see them there as well, because we'll be there soon.
One conference, fall conference season is in swing. We've got one down. We've got several more to go, but we'll get to that a little bit later. I'm talking about conferences. We were in Boston last week at the Atlas Conference, I guess brought to you by Kairos. Something kept coming up, something that we've mentioned several times, right?
That's right. So I was talking to a lot of people that were patient access people, even physicians that were getting involved and really trying to standardize data and become more involved in helping health systems address sort of the consumeristic trends. And the digital front door concept kept coming up in conversation and in some of the sessions I was at and even the panel that I was on. And so, Reed, we've talked about that before, but I don't think we've ever sat down to really kind of map out exactly what that means to us.
No, probably not. Again, like a lot of things, it's something that kind of gets talked around on different episodes that we've done. But we have, for those that have been to the website and seen one of our shows that we have with Binary Fountain, that's what they said. It was the topic of the most recent episode, right?
It was, and it was a deep conversation. In that episode, we actually talked to a couple of people, one of which I had the chance to talk to a little bit more deeper, and we're going to feature him later in the episode. That's Blake Long, who is the Director of Marketing Technology and Strategy at Unity Point Health, and he's talking about what he's been doing for the digital front door. But I think that, you know, Reed, we should probably take a step back, you and I, and really kind of orient ourselves around this term and maybe go a little deeper into it. What do you think?
Absolutely. So I think first and foremost, talking about, you know, what does that even mean, the digital front door? Mm-hmm. I think just the concept of a front door, why you call it the front door, is because that's where most people enter your life, your house, a business, whatever it is. That's how people are engaging with you in person, typically, right, as they're walking through the front door.
That's right. And the term digital front door has been around for a while. I've been looking online, Reed, to try to find a definition. There is no standard definition. There's not even a Wikipedia page on this. So you know what that means.
We should create a Wikipedia entry.
That's right. I think it's time for us to do that. But no, but before we do, though, I was looking at articles that were from like many years ago, like 5-6 years ago, and that's a long time in the digital spectrum. And they were talking about the website being a sort of a digital front door. And the reason why they were saying that is because that is the way that customers interact with you online primarily.
That's how they come in contact with you first, mm-hmm. probably. I mean, chances are they may have gone through your actual front door before visiting the website. You know, it could have been an emergent situation or something like that. But, you know, from a digital standpoint, certainly the predominant .com representation of your brand is probably where they landed.
Maybe for the first time they were like looking for information about you. Maybe they heard about you somehow, or even better, maybe had a referral and said, hey, you got to really hear about this particular business or this, in our case, right, particular hospital or whatever. And so they went online, and where do they go? They turned to your website for the first place for that.
That's really what they were doing, right? Is they're looking probably for some level of basic information, map, directions, what kind of services you offer, you know, physician information, things like that, I guess.
But as the web has become more and more transactional and more interactive mm-hmm. and two-way and all of these other things, this concept of the front door is kind of evolving. It's no longer just maybe the first way into your health system. It could be the primary way that people, your audiences, want to interact with you. The first visit, the second visit, maybe in between the actual physical visits, they want to use your digital properties to be a little bit more of their front door entrance to you.
Yeah, I mean, much less people would enter the physical front door of your organization and expect to you know, have whatever it is addressed. They want to be able to do that at the digital front door. So billing, customer service issues, scheduling, et cetera. Like you said, the transactional piece.
Now it's extending past not just the primary front door to your organization. It's your front door to your organization, you know, anytime online that people want to do business with you. And in healthcare, that could be a lot of different things. Like your patient portal could be a digital front door. Social media could be a digital front door. So it's no longer just your website too now. Mm-hmm. The concept has broadened much, much more significantly. And a lot of organizations are starting to really look at this concept of a digital front door and systematically develop strategies and ways to enhance that and make that more aligned with what their audience's needs are or with what consumers' expectations are.
Yeah, and probably within the organization, that expectation, definition, you know, that you're rolling out is probably different in your mind because you're worried about your portion of the business in a lot of cases.
So let's say, for example, you're a digital marketing person like you and I are, right? I think when we say digital front door, we think about ways that we can make it easier for potential patients to become patients or select us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a growth mechanism. It's transactional in the sense of like, you know, how do we continue to get more people in here as patients or, you know, whatever it may be. There's also a certain level of brand awareness and some of those types of things, I think, that fall in there, although yeah. That's, you know, probably a little bit different. But, you know, if you were, you know, VP of quality, well, what is it that you're concerned with? You know, is that where some of the transparency initiatives come in, for example?
Absolutely. And allowing the patients or even in this case, maybe the director of quality is even reaching out and sharing quality information to engage with a different audience. And that might be referring physicians to say, we are some of the best specialists, you know, in this particular area. So refer to us because we have good quality. So they have now multiple audiences, and their initiatives could be very much focused on, you know, increasing the awareness of the type of quality of care that's being delivered, making it a good referral destination point. And maybe even thirdly, to be a little bit more transparent to other audiences like constituencies to say, hey, look, we're delivering good quality care. And you could even use that, I would assume, in managed care negotiations.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think the goal of all of this is probably, it probably overlaps to some degree between some of the organizations, some of the people within the organization, I should say. And then you got some people from an operational standpoint that I don't know that they have a real precise, you know, you think about like a COO or even a CEO, for example, they kind of want it all. Right. So, right. You know, it's that transactional, you know, they want people to be able to do everything digitally that they can do probably in real life.
Yeah. A COO may want to enable a lot of digital front door tools or strategies to maybe make things a lot less expensive, reduce some overhead, if you think about it. They could also be focused on, if you're like in patient access, you might be wanting to make it easier for people to book appointments so they're not spending a lot of time unnecessarily calling your call center mm-hmm. to get information. Mm-hmm. If you're in physician relations, you know, maybe you want to create a variety of different physician-focused digital front door tools or systems. So make it easier for physicians to understand, engage, maybe even do, you know, like pre-registrations and really be able to enable digital as a way to facilitate the easier transaction.
Too, we run the risk. I just found myself doing this just in my own thought process as I was thinking through this, but we run the risk of, you're talking about the, you know, the variety of audiences that you brought up. Well, I fall into the trap of immediately jumping to that being people external to the organization. That probably really is what the website was originally built for, right? I mean, it was brochureware. Yeah. It was for people that don't work here, for people that have not been here. It's somebody you would hand a brochure about your organization to, potential patients. But now, you know, you've got employees, physicians that are both employed and not employed. You've got patients and their caregivers. So not clinical caregivers, but their family members and things like that, you know, et cetera. So I think it's a more expansive look at how people, you know, engage and predominantly engage, you know, within the organization.
That's right. Now, that's not to say that digital trumps everything else, right? We've talked about this often, and even in the last podcast, we talked about this when we were talking about systemness, that there is a human component and there is a physical component of care delivery. But digital is certainly becoming a nice supplement, a nice complement to all of the traditional ways care and interactions with your health system have been done in the past. So when we talk about digital front door, it can meet virtually every audience. It can meet a variety of different ways that people are interacting or engaging with your health system. And so that kind of leads to this whole concept of like, when maybe that's why it's not defined, right? Because it's so complex. Are we talking, when we talk digital front door, are we talking about just everything digital?
Yes. Pretty much, right? Well, I mean, yeah, well, yes, I guess. I don't know what to rule out necessarily, because again, it's in the eye of the beholder to some degree. And I think that's the deal, right? Is, you know, digital has evolved to a place where it can do just about everything. Now, does that mean everybody's technology does everything? No. You know, is there technology that does everything? Yes. It's just, you know, how's it implemented with your organization? Who are you trying to reach? What those different audiences look like and some of those types of things. And so I think that's another thing here that's important to point out is that, you know, the digital front door is not the same for everybody.
It sure isn't. And I tend to think that it is towards something that's a little bit more directional, how people can primarily access your system, your health system, that is, to be more efficient and to really access care at the appropriate times. I don't think necessarily digital front door tactics are the fact that you have an email or a webmaster inbox. That's probably not like a digital front door channel or tactic, right?
Do people email the webmaster anymore? Is that a thing? Who do they think is on the other end of that?
Well,
just some kid like in his mom's basement kind of a deal. It's a millennial, isn't it? Clearly.
I actually have the team that manages the inbox that the webmaster goes to. But here's the thing, though, right? It's not just the webmaster is designed for general inquiries for, you know, that may be related to the website experience itself. But in order to develop good digital front door tactics, we've actually kind of channeled and said, if you're looking for you're looking for help with paying your bill, this is the email address, or this is the email form, really. It's not even an address anymore. This is the form you can fill out to connect you directly with those people. Or if you're looking to make an appointment, this is where you want to go. Or if you want to talk about your patient experience, this is where you go. So this is one of the strategies that we've taken around our digital front door, quote unquote, approach on our website to really not just make it the webmaster inbox anymore.
Do millennials even know what a webmaster is? Is that a thing? Like if we, like no one hires for a webmaster anymore. Sorry. I've just been thinking about, yeah, that I don't know any webmasters anymore. What do those people do now? Like they've had to learn some other skills, I guess.
Hey, we want to take a moment to thank one of our sponsors, and that's our good friends at Binary Fountain.
You know, as a healthcare marketer, it's probably pretty obvious these days how much time you're spending on reviews, ratings relative to hospitals, physicians, all that kind of good stuff. You know, too many of those are going unanswered, and they're certainly not being analyzed.
This could be costing us new and current customers. It could be impacting our patient experience scores and potentially impacting our revenue. Luckily, our good friends at Binary Fountain have an online reputation management platform called Binary Health Analytics.
If you'd like to learn more or even schedule a demo, visit them online at binaryfountain.com. That's binaryfountain.com.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. And so with it not being a one-size-fits-all, right, we're talking about, you know, channels. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but maybe fleshing out what is a digital front door, what can be the digital front door.
Let's just pick a particular audience and talk about like where their potential digital front door touch points are. So, for example, if you're a prospective patient seeking care.
Yeah, because that's probably the most common one, at least in marketing, that we think of, right, is new patients.
What's the first thing they're going to do?
They're probably going to, in the digital sense, well, a couple of different places, but let's just start with one. You know, they're going to go to search, probably, because we're talking about somebody that does not have an existing relationship with your organization. So they're going to go to search.
So one big strategy that you can enable to connect with that person is really double down on your SEO strategies to determine like where your health system lands on the normal Google searches. And that could be your search engine optimizing your own website, or maybe even you're doubling down and you're really looking at those Google My Business listings or any other kind of business listings, you know, on the search engines to ensure that the right information is being presented at the right time of that search.
You would assume, too, that they've asked around friends, family, they're at church, you know, whatever it is, and they're asking, has anybody else done this, had this, who do you go to for X, Y, or Z, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, the digital side, the other side of that coin is the rating and review sites. You mentioned Google My Business, Yelp, you know, those types of things. Facebook, even, with the referral pieces. That's another similar but different entry point, I guess.
Well, and Facebook provides you a whole nother way to really look at how the health system might be, because most of your social media accounts are out there in the open for anyone to access. So if they're doing sort of that research and trying to understand who you are as a health system, not only are they going to look at the reviews on, let's say, Facebook, mm-hmm. but they might also see like what some of your most recent posts are, or how do you interact with people publicly, you know, on these sites.
Okay, that's one. And I would say that probably the family caregiver piece is not a whole lot different, you know, still kind of because you're looking for the same thing or the same goal. What about like potential employees, job seekers?
So sometimes with potential employees, they're going to go right to your website because they want to see, A, that you have a position available. They probably already have like started maybe thought about what your company is like. And first of all, they're going to go to your website and, you know, search the different careers or jobs that are available to see what's available there.
They're probably better equipped to know like where they would like to go work. So like a patient may not know where they should go for the type of care that they may need. They may even know the type of care they need. But, you know, a job application, if you're a registered nurse and you want a job at a hospital, that's a little more A to B. You know, it's a little more cut and dry, I guess. So yeah, they probably are going to, whether if it's a branded search or just hospitals near me or something like that, is how they're ultimately going to get to the website.
They may also be on LinkedIn looking for careers, right? And networking with other people on LinkedIn. And so LinkedIn would probably be a good place for that.
Our other job boards, Indeed, you know, things like that, right?
And then once they maybe see that there's a job available and they start kind of like looking around, well, where do they go for the ratings and reviews of a potential employer? They go to Glassdoor, right?
Yep.
So they start to see what other people have said by working for you.
It's kind of where there's smoke, there's fire. Does that mean that like all reviews are going to be bad or good or this or that or the other? But, you know, especially at hospitals, you know, an employer of that size in that community, they've probably got a decent amount of reviews. And so you can get a decent idea by just kind of glancing at some of those things. And quite honestly, they may also go to the consumer rating interview sites, you know, Facebook pages specifically. You know, what does it look like to work there? What does their Instagram channel look like? You know, because a lot of people use it for that. What does it look like on Facebook? You know, do the employees look happy? And then, you know, ultimately the ratings on there. What are people complaining about? Are there any themes here? Does this seem out of whack or weird compared to other organizations?
So you could see as we're starting to segment sort of like what the audience's needs are, your digital front door strategy could be a little bit different. Why don't we take one more? Let's say, for example, a physician that wants to refer to you, a general practitioner that's looking to refer to, an oncology specialist. What would their journey look like?
They could go through the aforementioned search, or there may be more of a professional setting. So like Doximity, for example, or something like that, where they're logging in, they're looking, it's a little more peer-to-peer. Could even be Twitter, for that matter. Understanding the reputation of not only the organization, but maybe like, especially with oncology, maybe some cardiovascular lines, maybe there's some institutes that are involved, you know, people that do research and are well known, but they're going to look for outcome data.
Looking at maybe health grades or vitals or, you know, other places where there's physician directories. And now what we're getting into is third-party directories that, you know, you as a health system don't own, but that has maybe relevant critical data about your providers on.
Well, those are three interesting, you're kind of based on the persona or the customer, if you will. But in big buckets, you've got your website, you've got social media, then you've got kind of third-party rating and review type channels. That's where the majority is going to land. Now, they're going to get there via search, word of mouth, other mm-hmm. ways. Mm-hmm. Predominantly, though, it's going to be properties you own, which is ultimately your website, maybe some microsites, landing pages, mm-hmm. things like that, kind of partially own the social medias of the world, and then ultimately stuff that you certainly don't own, but you can monitor and keep cleaned up, which is the rating and review and listing sites.
And then when they're ready to take action to do something with your organization, if you're a potential patient becoming a patient, mm-hmm. then they're going to look at, you know, what's the easiest way for them to make that appointment? So now online appointment mm-hmm. scheduling becomes part of your digital front door strategy. If you're in a potential employee looking to get a job, it's your whole onboarding for, you know, submitting for a resume and recruitment tactics to get there. If you're a referring physician, it's like, is there a way for physicians to refer to you digitally or at least make that digital experience a little bit more productive and meaningful?
Yeah. And so that's all technology that enhances the front door. So like you said, you know, there's the ones you mentioned, there's the patient portals, AI. This is where some of the chatbot stuff comes in that we've talked about historically. So there's all kinds of ways that this has moved from an online brochure to more of an interactive experience. And so I think it's just, and so the idea that, you know, again, that you're going to get this set up and be able to walk away is probably not realistic.
And then you could extend it past that initial touch point with your organization. Now you're, in order to build a loyalty, a returning customer, so to speak, in that case, if you're a referring physician, how do you have the tools in place so that you're ongoing engaging with that referring primary care doctor or whoever might refer to you, and build up that equity, that relationship, by maybe sharing with them relevant information, having them maybe come to some CME classes that you're doing, offering a variety of suite of different digital tools that are there. Now, on the patient side, we can think about things like you mentioned, patient portal, or paying your bill online, or refilling your meds, or
making an appointment,
managing your appointments, having digital tools in place to kind of manage all of the different work that you're doing, not only for yourself, but maybe potentially for others in your family.
Again, you've got the basic properties or the basic flags in the sand that we've talked about. Then you've got the technology that enhances that. And I think that's really where you're going to ultimately spend the majority of your time, is trying to figure out how to optimize for those different audiences, making sure that you can attract and retain the ones you want.
And this really plays heavily into the whole concept of consumerism and embracing consumerism in healthcare. Because really what you're doing is you're doing things that other maybe bricks and mortar, maybe retail organizations have been doing for a while, which is using your digital tools as a supplement to your offline experience. And so really, when a lot of times when we talk about digital front door, it's in the context of consumerism. There's a couple of articles, Reid, that I found about how two different health systems are looking at digital front door strategies. And the first is around, it actually is from Modern Healthcare, where it talks about some leading hospital systems and how they're creating digital front doors to foster brand loyalty. They say that the rise of consumerism in medicine is leading many health systems to look for new ways to build brand consciousness among current and prospective patients. And that includes useful tools like online portals, pricing information, quality information, physician ratings, and social media. No surprise there, huh?
No, there's nothing crazy there. And I think this is why we see such a land grab on the startup side of the equation of people creating tools and mechanisms to try to garner and capture and better facilitate that transactional side of the equation.
And it really does align towards the whole fact of that there's more self-service customers that are out there. There are more and more expectations that people are bringing to that experience, where now they're looking for this kind of information. Whereas, you know, maybe 10 years ago, the idea of having a physician star rating would seem a little bit crazy to some.
By the consumer, certainly.
Yeah. But now, many health systems are going down that path, and consumers are actually finding value from that, from not only the star ratings, but also sort of those inline reviews.
Yeah, and I think there's a line in here which I think it kind of takes us back to why that's important, I guess. Mm-hmm. It says in here that more than a third of Americans have posted online reviews about providers, according to Rock Health. They're writing on healthcare-specific sites such as ZocDoc or on general review sites like Yelp. So people are doing it and they're expecting to see those types of ratings, whether they're buying a camera, picking a doctor, you know, they're on Best Buy or they're on your hospital website. It doesn't really matter.
74% of patients schedule appointments with physicians who had ratings listed, whereas only 26% scheduled appointments with those who didn't. So not only are they posting more reviews, they're reacting to those reviews more.
And as we kind of wrap up this piece of it, there's one other article that we'll put in the show notes that's on healthcareinformatics.com. And specifically, it's titled Yale New Haven Health CIO Lisa Stump Describes Importance of Creating a Single Digital Front Door. And if you kind of go through this and you look, she talks a lot about MyChart, for example, in here. But the idea that they've got this great reputation, so maybe they overlay or build an app on the front end that allows them to aggregate whatever they want on the back end. So they can plug and play different existing apps that people might would want and use, all while funneling people through one single point of entry. So they're looking at a single digital front door for existing patients.
That kind of makes a lot of sense, because if you think about it in healthcare, at least over the last decade or so that you and I have been in it, how many back-end systems has there been changes around? I mean, we've had Epic kind of built up for a while, right? And Epic keeps introducing new functionality, but there's all these other systems that may be coming in on the back end. So if you're an existing patient, what she's trying, what the CIO is trying to do is basically build a single presentation layer to the consumer. It says, hey, you just have to come here. And what we're going to do on the back end is we're going to, whatever, even if new technology comes in or out, if it's like maybe a wearable device or, you know, or a new patient portal or whatever, we're going to build the back end infrastructure so that we can just swap that back and forth. And you don't even see that. So now your entry point is easy to access, and we're going to handle all the heavy work on the back end.
And so it's as easy as that. Everybody just needs to go build their own app.
This is a single app for that. Obviously, that's a lot of work to do that. But I mean, I think the intention here is good, right? It's really focusing on making that experience that much easier in the way in and out of your front door, your digital front door, as it will, that much more easier. And again, back to what we said at the top of the show, depending on your perspective, you're tackling different segments of that consumer journey.
Hey, Chris, before we go too much further, jump into this next segment of the podcast, I did want to mention and thank one of our sponsors, Influence Health. You know, they've got a consumer experience platform that covers several things. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we've talked about content management systems on this podcast.
Yeah, we did.
What about CRMs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we covered CRMs for sure.
And then obviously each and every week we talk about digital marketing. So digital marketing systems, you know, in one way, shape or form have probably been covered, right?
That's right. Digital marketing systems. And I would say that we even talk about it in a way of that overall digital consumer experience.
Well, there you go. I would recommend for anybody interested in one of those topics or anything else, they've also got some complimentary solutions on their website. But head over to their website, take a look at what they've got and what they're offering relative to CMS, CRM, digital marketing systems, kind of how all that is woven together in what they call their consumer experience platform. Find your way over to influencehealth.com.
Touch, counterpoint. There are two sides to every story. Ready, fight! Okay, Reed. Well, you heard the music, and you know that we're into the segment of touchpoint, touch, counterpoint. But I want to put the brakes on everything for a moment here, Reed. And maybe this is where we insert the sound of a record scratching. You know, that eek! I've heard from some of our audience members that they don't necessarily like, or maybe it's not that they don't like, but they say it's not their most favorite segment of the show, this touch point, touch counterpoint. So maybe what we could do is we can, since in this particular case, we kind of agree on this digital front door topic, maybe what we could do is instead of argue today, maybe pose a question to our audience. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that would make sense. And, you know, we've done this for 89 consecutive episodes now. So maybe we're running out of things to passionately argue about. I'm not sure. Maybe not. And I think we probably do it to some semblance or some effect, like throughout the episode. But I guess that leads us to a question, which is, do you like this segment? Is there something else you would like to see us do? Recent or current news and events and that kind of thing, or maybe the interview's longer, or maybe there's multiple interviews, or I don't know. You know, maybe there's something in between. Maybe there's a poll question that's served out each week, and we cover that. You know, anyway, there's endless possibilities, and we'd love some feedback on that.
Yeah, but I mean, the question here is for you guys to debate at home, and let us know through, you know, Twitter or LinkedIn or wherever you hear this podcast. You can even go to our website and leave a comment. Should we keep touch point, touch counterpoint as we move into the hundreds? Or should we evolve this segment? I like to think that this argument segment had a purpose, but I'm starting to wonder if it still serves that purpose to all of our listeners. Let us know.
And as our style has evolved and as we've evolved the episode just in general, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't make sense. So, absolutely. So, I'd love your feedback.
Today, we're talking with Blake Long from Unity Point Health. But Blake, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so happy to be here, Chris. Thank you. So I'm Blake Long, and I'm the Director of Marketing Technology for Unity Point Health. Unity Point Health is a Midwestern health system. We have locations in Iowa, Illinois, and Wisconsin, and we seem to be growing every year. So we are really focused on digital front door right now and really kind of assessing what we need to do to build an infrastructure that will really support what consumers are asking us for today and kind of going into the future.
So when you say the term digital front door, that means a lot of things to a lot of people. What is your definition of the digital front door?
So when we talk about the digital front door at Unity Point Health, we really end up talking about search engines a lot. You know, I think a lot of times we think, you know, we're going to build the digital front door for the consumer. It's going to be our website and it's going to involve all these things. And of course, it is going to involve a lot of those things. But as we know, most of the time when consumers are looking for information on their health or on their finding a doctor, they're going to start with Google. And so a lot of the work that we focused on has been making sure that we show up in a way that's going to meet consumers' needs in those search engines, and that then when they click through, that they're going to find even more relevant information and ways to interact with us that will help them along their journey and also help us connect them to points of access.
When you started to plan out your digital front door approach, right, your strategy, how did you think about it? How did you start, you know, planning this out?
So, you know, I think a really important thing for healthcare marketers to do is to be really familiar with what their access points are. And so when I talk about access points, what I mean is you need to know which doctors can get people in and which doctors can't. You can't really take a blanket approach to, I just want to promote primary care or I just want to promote cardiology. You've got to know which clinics and which providers are going to be able to get to consumers in a reasonable amount of time. Because what we have found in the past is that if you don't do that, you're not going to have as much success in connecting consumers with your health system, because there are a lot of options these days. There are competing options, there are new retail clinics. And when you're in a larger health system and you do have a lot of locations across a lot of communities, people are going to expect you to be able to tell them where they can access care most conveniently. So for us, it was really about getting familiar with our own business and figuring out ways to get data that would show us where those access points are. So that was the first thing. We had to get to know ourselves a little bit. And then the second thing we had to think about was, okay, when consumers are searching for, let's say, a new primary care physician, what information is relevant to them when they're starting with Google? And so for us, one of the most important things was ratings and reviews. We know that nobody buys a new mop or something on Amazon without looking at what other people are saying about it. We know people are expecting us to provide ratings and reviews on our providers, which is what we're trying to connect consumers to. And that's where Binary Fountain helped us in deploying those ratings and reviews. And what we really like about it is that it helps us, A, get those providers to the top of a search results page, and that they also, through the use of rich data, get those ratings and reviews to show up right on the Google page. We know consumers don't like to click through to a lot of pages, and we think that a really important component of our digital front door is this ratings and review work that we have done.
It seems like you're really not concerned about bringing people to your website. You're like getting them where they are in the search engines.
Yeah, I think that's the first part of it. And I think, of course, we eventually want to get them to our website to convert. So we eventually want to get them to fill out an online appointment request, for example. But the first thing we want them to do is see that there is a really good provider who a lot of people like, who are close to them, and then from there, make the next step. Because we think that if we just say, we're a health system and we have primary care, please pick us, that we're not going to have a real strong value prop. What we want to do is show that we're easier and more personal. And this is one of the ways that we do that.
That fulfills your brand promise then.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're talking about doing local SEO, and you were talking about including the star ratings and reviews related to your physicians. But you obviously did that on the website as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Those ratings and reviews are all on our website. And I mean, putting those ratings and reviews on our individual physician profile pages, that is what powers what consumers are experiencing on Google. So on Google, they're going to see the star rating come through, the number of reviews, and then they're going to click through to have that more enriched experience on the profile page. And that's where they're going to read through at least a couple dozen reviews before they make that selection. And that's where they're going to convert. So that's where they're going to fill out an online appointment request form. Or if they're looking for more immediate care, that's where they're going to reserve their spot for urgent care. So it's certainly connected, and it doesn't at all mean that we're ignoring the website, but the two things work hand in hand from our perspective.
And it's all about kind of reducing that friction too and opening the access points. So you got the star ratings up, but even that is just one thing. What else have you done to make it easier for consumers to connect with your providers?
So a couple things that we've done. One is through paid search. So a lot of times when we see paid search campaigns, we see people sending consumers to kind of a generic landing page. And so one thing that we were doing that we've changed is that in our paid search campaigns, we were sending people to essentially another search page. It was just on our website. So they would land there, they'd type in their zip code, and they would find a provider near them. Well, you know, our theory kind of in this process was that consumers already did that search in Google. They don't want to go to our page and do another search. So we were looking for ways to make that simpler. And so we did a couple things. First is we put together landing pages that pulled in just the providers who had access, their star rating, an easy click to call functionality, so that if I'm in whatever zip code and I search provider near me, I'm not going to have to go to unitypoint.org and put in my zip code again. I'm just going to land on a landing page that has relevant results. Then the other thing we're doing is using things like ad extensions, site extensions, call extensions to serve up links or call extensions that are direct to a specific clinic that we know has access. So it depends on what the consumer is searching. Are they using a broad term? Are they using a really specific term? But anytime we can serve them up that really specific result, we're doing that. The other thing that was really important to us was just that local SEO factor. So when you are part of a large health system and you have hundreds of locations and thousands of providers, it's really hard to get your hands around all that data. And so we've had to work with a couple of partners to get us into good shape in that area. But forget about consumers who are looking for a new provider. What if you just don't remember your provider's office number? Chances are you're going to start with Google then too, you know? And we want to make sure that you're getting accurate information from a search engine when you're looking for one of our locations or providers. So those two areas have been really key for us over the past year as well.
So what you're describing is complex. I mean, it sounds like it extends well past your own sphere of influence in terms of digital marketing, and you're now working with back-end, maybe even operations, understanding access. And tell us a little bit about that. Like, how did you lead that conversation with those outside departments?
Partnering with operations has been probably like the theme of UnityPoint Health Marketing for the past year, I would say. And you know, it might sound strange, but it really makes so much sense because it's impossible to launch a lot of new or develop new digital tools without having operational processes in place. And so for us, what it took was a couple of things. One was showing operations that marketing is able to drive results and prove those results in a way that's different than the past. So I think what you'll find is a lot of people who are not in marketing, they think of the traditional mediums when they think of marketing. They think of billboards, they think of print ads, they think about radio. They don't necessarily know what the power of digital is, and they don't necessarily know that by partnering with you, they're going to be able to see that in January, 32 people called my clinic and 20 of them were new patients. So we had to do a lot of talking with operations to just tell them what's possible. And what we found is that as we had those conversations with them and as we began bringing them those results, they became more interested in partnering with us on things. And so one of those things is the data that I mentioned around providers and locations. Of course, we have a ton of providers and locations, and managing that data is a real beast. And nobody knows that data as well as the individual clinic administrator, right? So you know your clinic's address, you know your doctors, you know what their education was, you know the phone numbers. And so what we've had to do is make sure that we have pipelines to all of those people in place so that we can get kind of data managed and verified in a more usable way.
in that regard, then, you're getting results. So tell us some of the results. Tell us how developing this digital front door, this approach, what is that? I mean, it sounds like you're getting some good success measurements out of this.
Yeah, we definitely are. You know, as it relates to the ratings and reviews, I think one of the most interesting things that we found is that a consumer is a lot more likely to request an appointment with a provider who has star ratings and reviews than one who does not. In fact, in our case, they're more than three times as likely to request an appointment from that provider. So we've been able to show that, certainly. The other thing that has been really valuable is those online appointment requests. So what we're able to do is show that we have this number of appointment requests by provider, and then we can show, you know, what percentage of those were new patients. And then through an integration with CRM, we can kind of track the downstream revenue for that. So what we're seeing is that really for the first time, we're able to tell you how many new patients we're driving, how many encounters we're driving. And because for Unity Point Health, this is something that is newer in the past year, this year's really been about establishing a baseline. So it's hard to say when you were in a state where, you know, traditional media was kind of the bulk of your effort before. It's hard to say, well, we've increased our new patients by this much. I think as we get into 2019, we'll see how we're able to continually refine and drive that up more. But I think the most important thing, and I think this relates really strongly to the tie with operations, is that you are able to go back and say, we drove you this many encounters, we drove you this many new patients, this many walk-in visits. And when you do that for the first time, it's not going to matter how many. It's just going to matter that you're able to say that you did it.
Yeah, absolutely. They regard you a lot differently. And that, like you said, it lets you expand into doing additional things. So speaking of that, outside of gathering benchmark measurements or benchmark measurements, what's in the future? What are you guys doing?
Doing a lot of stuff. You know, it's we're looking forward to beefing up our integrations with some of our other platforms to, A, help us target consumers better and help us connect people with points of care better, but also to have better reporting, fewer manual processes, better automation. So I'm really excited about that. And then the other thing that we are really still working on is that whole idea of provider data. So we've got it kind of wrangled internally in that we know where our data comes from and how to make sure it's accurate. I think the next step for us is making sure that we have a provider directory solution that can do what we want it to do in regards to kind of continuing to connect people with the most accessible points of care. So we're going to be looking at that over the rest of this year, you know, provider directory solutions, data management solutions, and how are we going to approach that in 2019?
They want to kind of see what you're doing online. They want to see what your digital front door looks like. Should they go to your website? And if so, what's that website look like?
The one thing they could do is just go to unitypoint.org and search for some providers in our provider directory. We have various regions, and the region that has the most ratings and reviews is Peoria, Illinois. So that would be a really good place to start. And then I think what we really want is for I think it's harder to get that Google experience unless you are somebody who is in one of our markets who needs something. It's kind of designed that way. But I think in order to get an overview, checking out those physician profiles would make a ton of sense.
And right there is the key to it all. If you're not in your target market, then you won't get that experience because you're not in target customer of Unity Point.
Right? Yeah. And if we don't have any access in your zip code, we don't want you to call our clinic that can't get you in for 6 months. So we're just a little quieter about that one, you know?
Always putting the patient experience first. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. Appreciate you providing some great experience and ideas and all the information you shared.
No problem. Happy to do it.
All right, wrapping up episode 90, the first of the 90s. Good episode. It was good to kind of talk through that, at least for me, and hear from Blake. Again, if you'd like to hear more from not just Blake, but a few others on this topic, go check out That's What They Said. It's episode 2. You can find it over at touchpoint.health. Mm-hmm. It's our podcast we do along with Binary Fountains.
You know, speaking of Binary Fountain, I am going to be co-presenting with them at the upcoming Healthcare Internet Conference, Reed.
And that is also the next conference that the podcast will be rolling into. And so that is, what, November 5 through 7?
That's right. November 5th through the 7th in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yep, hcic.net is the website. And so you can check out more there. Make sure you get registered. If you're going to be there, we'd love to know about it and love to sync up with you. Also, the next week, Jacksonville, Florida, the annual Mayo Clinic Social Media Conference is happening. And that is the 14th and 15th with a residency or kind of a pre-conference workshop, if you will. On the 13th, encourage you to check that one out as well. Socialmedia.mayoclinic.org is where you can find out more about that.
That's right. And it's a lot more than just social media at this conference. So Reed and I are going to be talking about podcasting. I'm also going to be doing a kind of a segment with people around actionable metrics. And Reed, aren't you going to be doing like a little roundtable on something?
Yep. Actionable metrics and podcasting. I think you and I are doing one on podcasting together along with the actual session on podcasting that we're doing. This is almost kind of a like come ask us anything kind of a deal. And so there'll be a lot of different folks there covering a lot of different topics. And so that's a good opportunity to be able to sit down with some experts around a topic and get some thoughts or some questions or some feedback.
Come check it out, Jacksonville, Florida.
Absolutely. All right. Well, before we get out of here, what recommendation do you have this week?
Well, Reed, I am going to recommend something that kind of has a tie back to last week's conference. On the final night of the conference that evening, we spent some time at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Remember that museum?
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Very cool stuff.
Really cool museum, but that's not what I'm going to recommend, although you should check it out. Something that we learned while we were at the museum is the Gardner Museum is known for one of the largest unsolved art heists in history.
The largest unsolved.
Yeah, that's crazy. So there, it was, what, 28 years ago, some unknown thieves broke into the art museum and stole 13 pieces of art worth $500 million.
One in particular, I think the Renoir was like $200 million.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was just ridiculous. But this art heist has yet to be solved. And I found out that there's actually a podcast about the art heist that's done by WBUR, which is the local PBS station, I guess, in Boston, as well as the Boston Globe. And what they're doing is they're going through a series of episodes where they're investigating the art heist itself. Determining, you know, like what they know about it, what little information the FBI has uncovered about it. They talked to some of the former guards that were there and were tied up the night of that art heist. They even in one of the episodes positioned, could this be an inside job? And they kind of explore that. It's really a good podcast. It's called Last Seen, S-E-E-N. It's definitely worth checking out. 5 episodes in so far, and they're probably going to do just a couple more on this because, quite frankly, it's not solved. I don't know where they're going to go. They don't have a lot of information.
You kind of run out of stuff to talk about, I guess.
But it's interesting. So definitely, that's my recommendation, the Last Seen podcast.
Very cool. No, that's a neat museum, and it was really interesting to see. We won't give it all away, but you can see where the paintings were, where the art was. It's very apparent that it's missing. So anyway, go check that out. I am actually going to recommend an app called VinWiki, like your vehicle identification number, VIN, so, and then Wiki. So you can kind of guess what this is. So imagine it's kind of like a crowdsourced Carfax, if you will. It's a community, and you can enter any car you see, find, own, don't own, whatever. You can look up the VIN via their app just by the license plate. You can take a picture. You can kind of log the car. If it's been done before, it kind of clusters those all together. So as you would imagine, you get some exotic sports cars and things like that. You may take a picture and upload it, and someone else is already logged to this vehicle. And so you could imagine that for people that are, you know, buying exotic sports cars, it's kind of interesting. It's like a piecemeal history of like where it's been, what it's done, some of those types of things. So VinWiki. As a side, they have a really good YouTube channel with car stories that are really funny.
That's 2 recommendations in one right there.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I like it.
VinWiki. Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun just to, as you see stuff around, be able to log it, especially unique stuff that you see. So it's kind of neat. Well, good. Another good episode. The art heist was in 1990, and this is episode 90. So there you go.
It all ties together.
Clearly. clearly. So, well, be sure to head over to the website, touchpoint.health. Let us know how we're doing. Track us down on social media like you have been doing. If you have not, sign up for the Insider over at our website and get that weekly email coming your way with a lot of great resources. And be sure to check out the other shows. We've got a new one launching soon, so more to come on that. And we will see you either in Scottsdale or Jacksonville, Florida, hopefully. So for Chris Boyer, I'm Reed Smith, and we'll see you next week.
This has been a Touchpoint Media production. To learn more about this show and others like it, please visit us.